It's always a blessing to me to be here. I felt your love when I came in, and everybody asking me how I was doing. And shows your compassion, and I appreciate that. The Bible says that Jesus went into the synagogue as he was used to doing on the Sabbath. He walked in, he was known. Everybody knew him. He was the boy that grew up there. I remember being in Nazareth and drinking out of the same well, the same spring that Jesus drank out of. It was quite an experience. But Jesus goes in, and they walk over, and they get the holy scrolls, and they bring him to him, and he opens them up and begins to read. And this is what he read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Same thing is found in Luke chapter 4. Jesus walks in. They give him the word. They expect it to be an ordinary day. They expect this is just what happened last week and the week before, as someone gets up to read the word. And Jesus opens a scripture and he reads this particular scripture. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." And then Jesus ends it by saying, "Today this scripture is being fulfilled before your eyes." That was new. That was unexpected. For somebody to actually make a claim that the prophecy of Isaiah was being fulfilled in him right before their eyes had everybody on the edge of their seat. And before it was done, they drive him out of the synagogue and they're ready to throw him over the cliffs there at Nazareth to his death. Strange, isn't it, how we love to go to church and we love to be in God's house and we love to sing his praises. But when he gets really personal with us, sometimes it touches a sore spot. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning. Open the word to us, Father, that we might see and understand what you want us to understand. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. If you were to read the scripture, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to," what would follow that? When the Spirit of God filled you, what the Christian missionary lads called sanctification, that infilling of the Holy Spirit, that anointing from heaven, the next question should be, why? Why, to make me feel good? Oh, I had shivers go down my spine. Well, that's fine. But what did it do for us? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said. "He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He had his ministry laid right out for him. It was clear. Jesus was not wondering, "Well, I wonder what I'll do with my life." He clearly understood that when he comes up out of the waters of baptism and John brings him up out of the water and the Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove bodily, it's visible. and the heavens open, and this voice from heaven says, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What a send-off into ministry. Wow. I mean, amazing, isn't it? He is ready to go into ministry, and the Spirit of God is in his life. And you know what God does? The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord immediately drove him into the wilderness to be tested of the devil for 40 days. People say, oh, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I do too. Can I tell you? But there's always a wilderness experience. Because it's in the wilderness that we understand the power of the Word of God. It's in the wilderness that we see the Spirit and the Word become truly faith in our life. When the Holy Spirit comes in, the book of Mark tells us the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness. What an experience that was. You know, I've always thought of the wilderness as the Adirondack Mountains. I love them. You go back into the mountains up there, they're beautiful. We took our youth group to the Adirondacks right after we came here because we had some problems with leadership in the group. And I said, we need to get our new leaders to be able to lead and the young people to follow them. And so we went to the Adirondack Mountains up in where my first church was. And we went back in and I said to the kids, now, guys, let me tell you a secret. You follow your leader or you get lost in here. There are millions of acres. You get lost in here, you're lost. You follow your leader. Dorothy and I left early because we wanted them to follow them, not us. And so I said, we will go out. We'll start. You guys follow after us. We came to a place where the trail was dividing, and I thought, how are they going to know which trail to make? So I laid some arrows down in a stone. I said, my son will see that, and they'll get on the right one. It wasn't long before we ran into a ranger. And he said, where are you going? And I told him where we were headed for. He said, you're going the wrong way. And I looked at him, and I said, No, we're going the right way. And Dorothy is saying, he's the ranger. And I said, did you get off the trail? He said, yes, I was off the trail. I said, give me your map. He showed me the map. He said, we're right here. I said, no, you're right here. You went off the trail. You came in on the wrong place. And he says, well, one of us is wrong. I said, well, I hope it's you that's wrong because my pack is heavier than yours. And I was right. It was simple because there was one path in and one path out, and I knew there was no other path, so I knew what had happened. Jesus says, you need to know where you're going. You need to know where you're going. And as a church, you're meeting with Dave Noggle tonight. He's a great guy. Love the guy. And you need to know where you're going. What's your purpose? Why is the Spirit of the Lord upon you as a church? He has a plan, and it's a wonderful plan. When I came to Butler 40 years ago, the DS would call me up and he'd say, I want you to candidate here. And I said, no, that's not the place. He said, how do you know? You haven't been there. I said, I just know. And he'd call me up again and he'd say, I'd like to have you candidate over here. And I said, no, that's not the place. He said, how do you know you haven't been there? I said, I just know. And finally he quit calling me and he just started sending me letters. And if I got this letter saying, will you candidate in Butler, Pennsylvania at Institute Hill Alliance Church? Now I ask you, did you ever hear a worse name for a church? Institute Hill. I thought, what kind of an institute is it, you know? I knew nothing about Butler. I had held revival meetings in Mars and had driven through Butler. That's all I knew. The Lord said, that's where you're going. I knew it. I wouldn't have had to candidate. I knew this was where God wanted us. I also knew what the Spirit of the Lord was upon me for. Because when God filled me with the Holy Spirit, he said, your life's message is to preach the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Your life's message is to lead people into the fullness of Christ. That's why the Spirit of God was upon me. I knew that in my life. And when we began to think about building a new church and leaving Second Street and building a new church, I said, you know, we have to know why we are here. We have to know why we exist. Otherwise, let's just go over to what was then Freeport Road Alliance Church and help them, or else go to Community Alliance and help them, or go to Meridian and help them. We've got four Alliance churches in the area. We don't need them unless we have a specific call of God upon us to do a specific ministry. And God says, your ministry at Faith Fellowship is to preach the fullness of the Holy Spirit and that message, that it will go out and cover the area. Now, I can tell you that I've had pastors who said, you know, I don't like that Jenks guy very much. He's just a little too Pentecostal for me. And others would say similar types of things. I can remember holding a revival meeting in a Wesleyan church in New York. And the visiting pastor said to the pastor who was leading the church at the time, he said, I'd like to have that Jenks come to my church, but don't you think he's a little too Pentecostal? And he told me that, and I went to bed that night, and I literally all night long am asking God a question. I said, God, why is it when I talk about the Holy Spirit, they always think I'm Pentecostal? Now, I want you to know something. In fairness to all of you, I love the Pentecostals. I have no problem with Pentecostals. I love the Charismatics. I love the Baptists. I love God's church. I love the people of God. But I said, Lord, why? Why is it that this happens in Alliance churches? Why is it that it happens in Wesleyan churches? Why is it that it happens that when I talk about the Word of God and being filled with the Holy Ghost, they always claim, and the Lord spoke to me about 6 o'clock in the morning. He said, son, the Alliance had this message before the Pentecostal church was born. Can I tell you something? The Alliance had this message long before any of these other denominations that preach it today was born. This was the message of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So I know why the Spirit of God is upon me. I know why the Spirit of God is upon Faith Fellowship. The question is, why is the Spirit of God upon this church? What is your calling? What is it that God wants to do that means I want to keep this church open, I want to keep this church going, I want to bless this church? Because the Spirit of God is upon Crosswinds too. Can you answer the question? Let me share with you some of my... I didn't know I was preaching this morning. I had a totally different message. Totally different. I've even got the notes for a different message. But let me say this. What I see when I come here is compassion. I see a family church. I see people who love each other. And I also know this, that outside of these walls, there are hungry people to be a part of a family. There are hungry people to be a part of a church that cares. Last week, the message at Faith Fellowship was this. We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, our high priest, Jesus Christ, feels. He feels what people feel. When Jesus is with his disciples, they've gone on a retreat. John has just been beheaded, and Jesus says, come on, we've got to get away a while. He gets them in a boat, and he takes them across the sea, but some 12-year-old boy looks out and he sees the boat going. You say, how do you know it's a 12-year-old boy? I don't. I just know that 12-year-old boy sees everything. And he saw, and he says, I saw Jesus and he was going that way. I think he's going to such and such a place. And the next thing you know, people started gathering up their sick and they're going around and they're making their way along the shore, and people saying, where are you going? Says, Jesus is going over here. We're going to be there. And bring your sick and come. And the disciples get up in the morning. They are so excited. This is the time to be alone with Jesus. And they open their eyes, and there are 5,000 people there. Jesus! Hi, Jesus! And the disciples go, oh, no. Oh, why? Jesus, turn the boat around and get us out of here. We're tired. Have you ever been so tired in your ministry that you just wanted to get out? Not of your ministry, but out of that particular day. You just didn't feel like you could go on. I've been there. I've been to the point when I was an evangelist preaching, I think, 8 weeks without a day off except the moving day. I didn't even want to look at my Bible. I was tired. I got home and I didn't want anything. I got worn out here a few years ago. So I didn't want to preach. I am never at the place I don't want to preach. Andy gets to preach, so I come here so that he can preach over there. I love to preach. But I got to the place I didn't want to preach. I could read 5 verses, 6 verses of Scripture, 7 verses of Scripture for a month. That's all I could do. I could read John 15, 1 through 7. I didn't want to go to church. I went to church because you have to go to church if you're a preacher. I didn't want to go. Can I tell you, that's where the disciples were. They're exhausted. They're exhausted. Send them away. And the Bible says Jesus looked out and he was moved with compassion. He loved that crowd that was out there. And he begins to minister. And all day long, and finally one of the disciples comes up and says, Lord, send them away. It's nighttime. They're going to starve on the way home. And Jesus says, how about you feeding them? We don't have anything to feed them. What do you have? Well, there's some kid over here. This is amazing. It's a miracle. There's a kid that's still got food left. And it's a boy. How many of you know boys never leave food? They finish it off. He's got 5 biscuits and 2 fish. And then they ask this question, but what is that among so many? And Jesus said, bring it to me. And he takes that boy's lunch and he holds it up to the Father. And he blesses it. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And he is to heal the brokenhearted and to preach the gospel and to set the captives free and to open the eyes of the blind. And so Jesus, in this moment, when he's as tired as the others, he got so tired he didn't have time to eat, didn't have time to sleep. He's still moved with compassion. The Spirit of God is still on him, even when the disciples, who have not yet been baptized in the Holy Ghost, by the way, even when they're completely gone, Jesus is still moved by the Spirit of God that is upon him. You see, when we know the Spirit of God has anointed us, then we know what our mission is. We know where we're going. And we know how to minister to those who come in. Now, hear me on this. The Bible says Jesus is a high priest who is touched by the feeling. He sympathizes with us. He empathizes with us. He knows what we're going through. He knows when we're tired. He knows the feelings that we have. He understands us as nobody else does. Why? Because the Spirit of God is upon him. And so again, the question, why is the Spirit of the Lord upon this church? And he is. The Spirit of God is on this church just as much as he is Faith Fellowship or community. You believe that, don't you? The Spirit of the Lord is here. He's here. And his plan is to fulfill the ministry of this church. Now, if Jesus is moved with compassion, and Jesus has given this church a spirit of compassion, and you have it. I felt such love when I came in here this morning, and almost everybody saying to me, "Are you feeling better? How are you? You're feeling okay?" And I thought, they care. They care. It matters to them that I'm here. Can I tell you something? That did something to me. That made me feel loved. You have a ministry of love in this church to make people who walk in that door feel welcome. My mom and dad moved to Charlottesville, Virginia. And we said, I happened to come down just at the same time. I was an evangelist at the time. And my younger brothers were there. And we said, where will we go to church? Well, naturally, we'll go to the Alliance Church. And so we came in and we sat, I would say, probably about this row. A whole row of our family sitting there. Mom and three of us boys. And a couple walked in. And they walked down. And they walked right up to our row. And they went. And they came in and they sat down in this row. And pretty soon another family came in. And they came up and they looked at us. And they walked up and they said, "You're not in your regular seats, are you?" You say, that didn't happen. Yes, it did. Oh, yes, it did. I said to Mother, "I think we're in the wrong church." We decided that evening that we were going to go to a different church. And Mom said, "Well, I've heard about a Nazarene church over here. Let's try that one out." How many of you know there are a lot of people that walk into our churches and they walk out looking for something they didn't find when they came in? We didn't find what we were looking for. When we went to walk in the church, I was met in the parking lot. "Who are you? How are you? Glad to have you in our church." Before I knew it, we got in and took me up to the pastor, who was Reverend Church. I remember it yet, 50 years later. Went up to him. He said, "Reverend Church, I want you to meet Dick Jenks. He's an evangelist with the Christian Missionary Alliance, and his dad works." And I said, "How do you know all that stuff, you know?" And he said, "Well, you told me when we were coming in." You see, he had been so interested in me. Can I tell you something? That's why we went to church. We were made to feel at home and welcome. Who comes in your door? People who have needs. And the Spirit of God is upon you to preach the good news. Yes, to heal the brokenhearted. You care about brokenhearted people. I know you do. I feel it. To open the eyes of the blind. You know, there are people who come into our churches who are totally blind to what Jesus can do in their life. But you can do it. Now, imagine if you could, Bartimaeus coming to your church. You know who Bartimaeus is? Bar is son of, Timaeus is poverty. Bartimaeus is the son of poverty. His father is Timaeus. He is the son of Timaeus. They're both dirt poor. They don't have anything. They're beggars. And he comes. He hears Jesus is coming. He says, "Jesus, Jesus." And what does the crowd say? What does the church say? These are all the followers of Jesus that are with him. "Be quiet. Shh. He doesn't care about you. You old beggar, be quiet." The word says a poor man comes into our church and we say, "Here, sit here in the corner on the floor." Rich man comes and says, "Here, you have the best seat in the house. You see, Bartimaeus would have been given a corner seat on the floor, but not at this church. At this fellowship, he would have been welcomed. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to have compassion. To have compassion on the poor. The prodigal son, what if he came to your church? He's been out there living a horrible life. He is a sinner. If ever there was a sinner, he is a wasteful. He has been living with prostitutes. He has wasted everything he's had. He dishonored his father. I mean, he is really a no good. That's who he is. He's a no good. And he comes into your church. If the elder brother meets him at the door, he'll send him right back out the door. The elder brother say, listen, you're not welcome here. You had it. You gave it all up. You get out of here. Because after all, you might be able to play the piano and I don't want you to take my seat. You might be able to lead singing and I don't want you to take my microphone. You might be able to do finances and that's my job. And you might want to sit on the board and we don't want anybody else on our board but what we've got. Oh. I've heard all those things. I've seen them all. We had a lady came into our church, good pianist. But we had another lady who was a pianist, and she went up to her and said, you really, you know, you've got your doctorate. These are blue-collar people. You really don't fit here. What was she afraid of? She was guarding her piano bench. You see, we have to watch if the Spirit of God is upon me. I have to know why. Why is he upon me? Why is he upon my church? What if the leper came in? You know Jim Cimbala, who pastors the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Great church. Great church. One night, he's tired. The service is over with, and he sees this homeless guy coming in down the aisle towards him. And he just doesn't want to be bothered by anybody. And he sees him come closer and closer, and he just reaches in his pocket, pulls out his wallet, and pulls out some money and hands it to him. And the guy said, I didn't come for your money. And then the smell hits him. He smells. And he drew back from that smell. And Jesus spoke to him and said, son, I died for that smell. Jim threw his arms around him and loved him and led him into the kingdom. And today he's one of the active members and busy members of the church in Brooklyn. Who comes in your door? What are you anointed for? The Spirit of the Lord is upon Crosswinds because he has anointed you with compassion. He has anointed you with a feeling of family. He has anointed you. Oh, we have to be careful with that feeling of family one. Sometimes we don't want the family to get any bigger. I had that in one of my youth groups. A couple of young people, teenagers, came back when I was pastoring in Linesville. They treated them like dirt. I pulled them aside. I said, what is wrong with you guys? Treating them like that. They said, well, you're like a dad to us, and we don't want any more kids in the family. We had to deal with that. I mean, you know, you have to deal with all these things. if you're going to be a compassionate church, you have to be able to deal with the things that will come up, because the enemy will bring up things and say, well, you really don't want that one, and you really don't want, and besides that, I guard my position. My first wife, Dorothy, worked at Penn State University. She had a high school education. She went to work at Penn State as a receptionist. People wanted her job. She'd just move over and give it to them, get a better one. When I married her, if you wanted to get your doctorate at Penn State, you had to go through her. She was secretary to the dean of the graduate school. And can I tell you something? He cried at our wedding. He didn't want to lose her. But I won that one. Are you willing to move over to make room for somebody? Are you willing to step back and say, come on in? Are you willing to say, you're as welcome here as sunshine in May. We want you here. Like I said, this wasn't the message that I thought I was going to be preaching. So maybe it's the message. Would you stand with me, please? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just alone for a moment with each of you, do you know why the Spirit of the Lord has anointed you? That's what kept Jesus on target through his whole ministry. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me because he has anointed me too. And he could enumerate everything that was there. Do you know why the Spirit of the Lord is on you? Do you know why he's on your church? How many by God's grace would say, Pastor Dick, I want that anointing on my life, and I want that anointing on my church, and I want to be used of God. May I see your hands? Thank you. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray your Holy Spirit to give a rich anointing upon this church. Lord, I know you've called this church. I know the Spirit of God is here. Every time I come, I know that. Lord, may every one of us know why the Spirit of the Lord is on this church. May we seek you to know why. And Father, as Reverend Noggle is here tonight, I didn't know he was coming. He's here tonight, Lord. May the message today affect that service tonight, that time tonight, that people will know why this church exists. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. The crow. Love you.
I love you too.